Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I was going to get into some more wizard today, but I think I want to talk about two topics, the things I read this week that kind of like really invigorated, well, three things. I just got really excited about reading comics this weekend. It was just, for one thing, I read a lot of Kickstarters, and primarily I finished up Private Dance. Okay, this is a Pat Shan book. I've been supporting this book for 8 issues, and it has been absolutely incredible. It focuses on two strippers, Raven and, God, I can't remember what her name is. Let me look it up real quick. Sydney. And they get into a weird relationship with a married couple. So Raven starts having an affair with the woman who's well-to-do authors of some sort, or she manages authors, and then the man is a comedian, and Sydney gets in a relationship with them. And the one wife is like a sugar mama for for this one stripper for a long time, and then she leaves that relationship behind, and she then gets into a relationship with a young kid. Like, he's probably like right out of or early college, or working as a waiter, for minimum wage, and he loves her, absolutely adores her, but he has no money to buy her. But she talks to him a lot, and then she gets back into the relationship once the guy leaves for a while, gets into a relationship with an ex-boyfriend. And this is the part I don't like, because she got back into drugs, and he gave her some bad cocaine once, and she ended up in the hospital. It was a bad situation. But then the comedian comes back into her life, and she is falling in love with him again. And I think he loves her, but he also loves his wife, which is a weird situation. Even though they have an open marriage, things are starting to fall apart, I think, with that marriage. And oh God, it's just so intriguing. And then there's another stripper there that has a quarrel with the two of them, and that one young kid is stealing money out of that stripper's purse, and the Raven is getting blamed for it. And Raven also has a mom that's in help, like assisted living, and she's trying to help her pay for that. So she's like in a boatload of hurt. She lives with her brother. She's trying to find a new roommate. Yeah, it's like a soap opera, and it's just amazing art and such a good story. And it seems like there's like 40 some pages. Like, it literally takes like 20 minutes to read. There's a lot of dialogue. Everything is great. Everything, clicks. I really like that one. So that's Private Dance. And then I read Mark Spear's Monsters. And like, I knew there was a lot of hype behind this guy, and I knew he was doing covers for Marvel and DC and Spawn books, because I'm getting all the Spawn covers, and I'm more intrigued by what he's doing with Monsters. But I read issue one, and I was floored. I literally was floored. Not because this guy can draw, and I don't know what his process is, but it seems like photorealistic based on photographs. I don't know how he does it. I'll have to figure it out. It might be AI. I don't care. But whatever he's doing it's right. And the story involves a lifelong threat of Dracula, and he's sort of controlling all these monsters around him. And then there's a character called the Slayer, who used to, back to the 17th century or whatever, he was a dragon slayer, and he was raised by like a guy to fight monsters, and he's still alive. Either he's alive still, or his thing is passed on like the Phantom, you know, from generation to generation. And Dracula's amassing an army of monsters. And yes, there's two detectives that are like Sam and Twitch that are sort of helping, but they're not allies. They're allies in the fact that they're after the monsters too, but they're not helping Slayer at all. As a matter of fact, they're shooting at Slayer. So they're in the conflict. And then there's a small group that looks like they have powers, like a girl that can grow, a zombie looking punk looking guy, and a few others that have like mercenary skills, and they're gonna go after the monsters, but they get taken out like they're a fucking joke. So like I don't know what's gonna happen. And then there's three kids like that are kind of like Goonies kids. There's two kids, one ends up dying, and then there's a fucking golden man. Okay, like, okay, they got like a superhero, but he seems like he's an android. And he's controlled by some major corporation, and his motivations are not great, because you think he saves this fat kid from falling off a water tower, but he actually kills him. He just drops him. He doesn't give a shit. So like, there's those players, and I don't know how they fit all into it. And now I'm gonna start the monster and the wolf and see where that goes. You got Werewolf and Frankenstein, the Bride of Frankenstein, Dr. Jekyll and Hyde. It looked like Dr. Jekyll might be an ally to Slayer, but he gets taken out. So, like, I don't know how this guy is even going to form any allies to even stand a chance in this situation. But it is incredibly... I don't know. Every now and then you run into a comic that just, it floors you. And those are like 5 out of 5s. And they were good. And then this weekend, I was like, you know, I had got caught up in filing comics last week. So last week was, you know, a DCBS order. And that takes me a long time because it's 2 weeks worth of books. I have to inventory them, get them into the database, bag and board them, and then file them in a short box. And it's a lot of work because I literally, between that, my comic shop, and my LCS, I'm hitting about 170 books a week. In 2 weeks. So almost 200 books every 2 weeks. And then there's like a hardcover and usually like 3 or 4 magazines that I get. And that's a lot. So it takes me busy. But like I got a wild hair up my ass to go into the closet in the room that is not the uninventoried closet, but this one has like four short boxes of comics I still need to inventory. And I almost kill myself getting in there because that's the room that's has trades and hardcovers and omnibuy all stacked about 3 foot high all over the floor, plus all the bookshelves are full, and I have to like do some Houdini, and I'm a fat dude, okay, so I have to do like some crazy stuff. What I really should do is like take the box into the hallway and process it so I don't kill myself. But I was doing this one, and it was a Marvel box, and I'm like, oh, I really wanted to find the indie because I'm still wondering if I have more Spawn in this closet. So I really want to complete my run of Spawn. So I get in there and there's like a lot of Marvel from, let's see, what year is this? I could just pull this up because I want to talk about one more comic. Let's see, it's on the last page. This is 2010. So this box is from 2010, and I'm going about into this box and looking at comics, and I find this has like a ton of X-Men, a ton of Thor, so much, you know, Thunder, Thunderstrike, Ultimates, a bunch of Ultimate books, and I had Ultimate Fallout, two copies, still in the poly bag of Ultimate Fallout 4, which is the first appearance of Miles Morales. So I was like, oh my God, this is where this is. I thought these were in the uninventoried stuff in the basement, which I'm almost finished doing the Marvel. But they were in this closet, and I had, I don't know why, okay, because I wasn't getting this book from DCBS at the time. In 2010, I must have been getting only indies from DCBS and still get my Marvel and DC from Ed's. So I don't know why I would have bought two copies of every single issue of Ultimate Fallout, but I did have two copies of it. So I found that really bizarre. And I was looking through Ultimate Avengers. Like, there's Ultimate Avengers 1, Ultimate Avengers 2, Ultimate Avengers 3, Ultimate Avengers 4. And I'm looking at the art teams, and I'm, like, flabbergasted. And I'm looking at all these Ultimate miniseries, you know, Ultimate Mystery, Ultimate this, Ultimate that. I'm looking at the artists. There's Ultimate X-Men with Art Adams art. And I've never read, and he did like all five issues, at least the ones that I had in this box. And like, I'm looking at another Ultimate book, and it's got Robert Atkins, who's a friend of mine, and he did an Ultimate book, and there's an Ultimate Hulk and Wolverine in there, or two of them, like 4 and 5. I remember that had some lateness issues with it. But yeah, there's a lot of great stuff in this box, and it was incredible going through it. So yeah, that happened, and yeah, it was kind of fun. And I'm still not done. I still have to board some of the books I'm going through now, which is the X-Men, and one of the books I'm going to get to. Are you coming in or out, Gigi? God dang. She's going to drive me nuts, I know, because I want to record, get this out of the way, so I have an episode in the can, but she's wants to be outside and inside, and she hates when I'm recording because I'm in the corner, and she wants to be by the door, and she wants all the attention, which is fine, but it's hard to record. But anyway, I was like, man, these books are cool. So I decided to read X-Force, Sex and Violence. Okay, and I got really interested in it. It's got Domino and Wolverine. And I kind of remember reading this X-Force. This was like, I think, right before Rick Remender came with Uncanny X-Force. And that is like an amazing run. I did read that, but I think I was buying this series, but not necessarily reading it. But this series was great. Was it Christopher Yost? Let me see if I can find. If I look at issue 2, I'll probably find out who. Craig Kyle and Christopher Yost. And I remember these guys as being really good X-Men writers and like other books. Like, they were doing Young X-Men book and something else. I don't know if it was New Mutants or one of those teen X-Men books. And they were doing some other books, and I liked their writing. Like, they were a good team, Kyle and Yost. And then it has art by a guy who's just pretty much a cover artist now, Gabriel Del Otto. And this is a 3-issue series. And it's such a good one. And it makes me want to go read all of these fucking X-Force books during this time. Because, first, I wasn't aware that Wolverine had, like, a sexual relationship with Domino. I didn't know this, so I did some research, and it was during this period where they flirted with each other, but it seems like this is the only series where they actually we're fucking, okay? So I don't know. And this book was labeled explicit content, and trust me, there is a lot of fucking blood in this, a lot of death. And this is what Red Band would be today, except Red Band is not nearly as good as this in terms of quality. And it didn't have a red band, nor did it have to be bagged in a bag and you know, like Marvel does with the red bag band and all that bullshit. This was just sold right out there. And it's sort of a story where Domino starts working for the Assassin's Guild. So they hire her to do something. And she realizes that the Assassin's Guild is doing sex trafficking of a bunch of women from Japan. And so she frees all the girls there and takes them to an embassy and then steals all the money associated with it. And we're talking about like almost $200 million. And this was in dealings with Belladonna, who runs the Assassin's Guild, and the Hand. So you got the Hand involved now. And the scene opens up where Domino is like beaten to a pulp by somebody, Assassin's Guild, in her apartment, but she manages to survive. And then Wolverine and Elixir come in, and Elixir's a healer, and he goes to heal Domino, but Wolverine says, "No, don't heal her. Make her tell. I want to know what the hell's going on before you even lift a finger to heal Domino." So she tells him everything except about the money. So he's like, "Okay, I'm gonna help you out. And, you know, we're going to fight." And then they get attacked by these, like, cyborg-looking assassins from the Assassin's Guild. It looks like humans are wearing this, like, body armor and weaponry. And they come after them, and they have a fight scene. And guess who's also there? Razor Fist. The fucker, the guy that you see in Master of Kung Fu and Shang-Chi and Power Man and Iron Fist and those books. This guy Razor Fist, who's got fucking fists of razor, and he gets into it with Wolverine and Domino, and he pretty much gets trashed. And there's an ongoing joke that Wolverine says, "If I ever hear Razor Fist..." Oh, he basically says, "No, I'm gonna make you razor legs too." Because if you know Razor Fist, he's got two attachments of like sickles, you know, these big old blades of razors. And he fights like with these razor fists. But he's got no hands. So Wolverine's like, "Well, now I'm going to call you Razor Legs," because he's going to take off his legs. And he goes, "I'm going to let you live. But if I ever hear Razor Fist again in a sentence, I'm going to kill you." And then somebody says something about Razor Fist, and Wolverine says, "No, I'm going to let that slide because that wasn't in the sentence," because Domino wants to kill him. But anyway, they get into, you know, after they escape that fiasco, Belladonna hires several assassins. And they have a wicked sex scene too. It looks like aggressive sex. After they talk about the money that she took, Razor Fist did put a tracer on Wolverine. So Belladonna hires Boomerang. You know Boomerang from the comics. He not Captain Boomerang, but the Marvel version of Boomerang. And Nakah, who I don't really know much about him other than he's enhanced durability and he's a knife man. Clay, who doesn't see, he might have been created just for this book. He has the ability to create duplicate snipers, and he's a sniper. Miami, who I don't know who that is, but Black Mamba. She's got Dark Force, Generation, Strangulation, Limited Telepathy. Bullet, who's a daredevil villain, super strength, speed, stamina, and durability. Bushwhacker, who I've seen, who could like form these guns. He looks mutilated. It looks like Wolverine had something to do with his mutilation. But they're in that apartment or that hotel, sleeping in money, having sex. And then all of a sudden, Bushwhacker comes in and starts shooting up the place, shooting up Wolverine. A matter of fact, Wolverine puts his body over Domino, and as he gets shot, protects him. And then Wolverine cuts loose on Bushwhacker, and he says, "You know, who sent you?" And he says, "Oh, you know, Razor Fist put a tracer on you. Who else is Belladonna sending?" And he said, "Everyone." And so they're on target by all these assassins, and then the Hand just murdered Clay, who's the sniper. They stuck a sword right in his fucking head. So it's extremely violent. And then the third issue is them deciding to go on the offense and go after Belladonna. So they do, and they offer Belladonna, you know, "Hey, we'll let you live if you let everything go, and we'll walk out of here." And she says, "Well, what about my money?" "Well, you're not getting that money. We're donating that to charity, all of it." And Domino's like, "What?" And then so she sends, you know, Bullet and all those guys, plus those cyborg assassins I was talking about, you know, after Domino. And then there's in Wolverine, there's a huge fight scene. And he gets slashed again by Razor Fist in the mouth, and they get captured by the Hand. So the Hand comes in, and now you got the Hand and the Assassin's Guild, and it looks like shit's gonna hit the fan. And then all of a sudden, X-Force comes in. And this is what, like, I don't remember all the members, but I remember this team except one guy who's got knives and like tattoos on his eyes. And I don't know it. It's Warpath, Archangel, X-23, and this other guy. And I really don't know who it is. I'm gonna have to go look. But I remember reading about him, and they come in and they slash the Hand and the Assassin's Guild, and then they're free. And then there was something about a big old donation of 125,000, you know, not the full 200. So Domino kept some of it. She buys Wolverine a Mustang, and they kind of just drive off in the sunset. But he's like, "You were supposed to donate this to charity." And that was like three issues that were, God, it was just fun. Like it was like a fun movie, and it made me want to read more about this version of X-Force. So you'll probably see me go on like a tirade of reading some of these issues, probably at night on the app, even though I own these books. Sometimes easy when you discover something like this and you want to read more. And then I found a thing, another thing I wanted to read, but for some reason I had 1 and 2, 6, 7, and 6 and 7. It was Alex Ross's The Torch, and these covers are Alex Ross, and it looks amazing. You know, World War II action. And I was excited to delve into that, but I didn't have them all. So, and I don't know where the others could be. So I just placed an order with my comic shop, which will not be in the next piggy. So I have one piggyback that's arriving probably this week. And then I placed an order with another piggyback. That was an interesting one. I was trying to delay that piggyback, but Rob Krieger texted me, and he's like, asked a weird fucking question. He said, "Did you order cul-de-sac number 6, or maybe it was 7? Did you order cul-de-sac 6? I think it was 6. And did you order survival number 5. It was something like that. And I said, yes, I've been getting into DCBS. But he goes, I don't think DCBS ever solicited this. So I'm like, what the fuck? You know, these bad idea books I love, I'm getting them all. What happened? So the first thing I do is I go look at my orders at DCBS, and sure enough, they're not there. So I'm like, oh, damn, you know, like I missed them. And then I go to my comic shop, which he says they are there. And I said, I got to place the order now, because if you lock in on your order on that date, they actually pull those books for you, like on that day or the day after. And so I got Survival, the final issue, and the final issue of Cul-de-Sac. And I locked in on them, which was great, because I really wanted those. And then I have a whole bunch of other things in there. And I just love comics so much, you know, like I've been reading Dark Assassin from Chris Silver's line, Greater Mercury Comics and stuff. And I picked some Fat Ninja and some other books out of there. I just like to explore. I really think I'm not a comic book expert in any area, but I think I'm well read in everything. You know, like I know stuff. And I often stay on social media. You know what gets me excited is stuff I have not seen before. I don't give a shit about the stuff I've already seen, because I probably own it or it's on my target to buy, unless it's too expensive or out of reach. But I want to explore stuff, you know, like, and I want to explore it all. Like even yesterday I was at Target, and they had a comic book based on the Bible. I would have gotten it, but it seemed like it was like these shorts that were just one page. And I really wanted more substance, and it was like a thick hardcover, omnibuy. But you know, I was like, you know, it's not what I wanted. And it's not that I'm real religious. I just love reading about religious stuff. Like, I just recently picked up this crazy-ass comic from a Christian comic company called Spire. Okay, Spire licensed out some of the Archie books. Like, they published Archie, which they're probably more famous. And then they published out some other books that were just all over the place. There's, like, a Johnny Cash. There's stuff. They published a really controversial comic book. And I wanted to get a copy of this. It looks like nasty. Like, it looks like super bad. But it's the opposite of what the cover indicates. It's called Hansi, the Girl Who Loved the Swastika. And it's got her on the cover. Hitler's in the background. And she's just happy as hell. But what it really is a girl that was in Nazi Germany at the time, and she was supporting the effort, and then she gets into a situation where she gets friends of the Jewish sort, and then she learns about all the other, you know, like what's wrong about stuff. So here's where the Christian part of the book comes, but the cover doesn't indicate that at all. Like I don't know what they were thinking when they published this, because they could have called it so many other things. Like, I don't know why they would have chose this to drive controversy. But I've been reading like crazy religious comics. That there was one called Primal, I think, with a question mark that was dealing with why the theory of Charles Darwin is incorrect. You know, there's so many comics to enjoy, like, and I'm all over the place, and I can't help it, you know, like, I could still love comics and be more focused, but they take my breath away, and you could probably hear me losing my breath. They take my breath away. But anyway, I want to plug back in here to my headset, so I can finish talking about the books I read. So I'm back plugged in, just in case, because the books I read are on, you know, a not a spreadsheet, but a notepad. So we're going to go back to September 15th to September 21st of 2025. Not a lot read that week. It kind of sucked. It was only 10 books read. But I did start watching on MGM Plus Billy the Kid, and the series is amazing. It's 3 seasons long, and there's a lot fictionalized, and there's a lot of true parts to it, and there's a new character they introduced that actually did ride with Billy the Kid, but you never see in the Young Guns movies or all the other ones, and he's like almost as important to Billy the Kid in this series as he is in history, it seems like. But he like went against the regulators, so he was on the other Tunstall McSweeney war. He was on the other side, but him and Billy, you know, they started on the same side, which was incredible. And then the series involves their relationship through 3 seasons and how that evolves, and it's crazy. It really is. I love the series. We'll be talking a little bit more about that in probably future. This was season 1. Only 10 comics, 1 Marvel, 8 DC, 1 Addiction. I read the 3 out of 5 were Addiction number 3. Our heroine and her husband get attacked by the Candyman. While I think this issue 1 was fantastic, the next 2 issues just went nuts when so much foundation was built in the first issue. And I started to not like this as much as I loved it when I started. I think the first issue I gave a 5 out of 5 or a very high 4 out of 5. And now it's a 3 out of 5. I call it Addiction as the comic company, but I think it's actually begins with a Z or something like that. It was solicited though as Addiction in Diamond, if I remember correctly, and this is when Diamond was still around. The next 3 out of 5, I didn't buy a physical copy. I think I read it digitally. This was a 5-issue series, and I did read it. Gotham City Sirens Unfit for Orbit. Despero threatens the Earth, and only the Sirens can stand in his way. I don't know when I finished it or I'm going to get credit for all of them, but I only got credit for 1 on this one. We have Aquaman 6 and 7, Aquaman, Captain Nemo, Arion, Vivian work to topple the Dacon Empire. We have Justice League Red. Red Tornado puts together a covert team to prevent the Justice League from causing a bad future from happening. Power Girl and Baz are recruited. We have the Demon number 9 and 11. I'm getting close to finishing. So it is a lot of people that listen to me or know I've been around for a while know I love Jack Kirby. And, you know, I've read the Fourth World stuff multiple times. Except for Commandy. I didn't read all of Commandy. I still need to reread that. And Demon, I didn't read. I had read a couple as a kid because I had 2 issues of it, and I did read them. At the time, I wasn't ecstatic about Kirby's artwork, but that came in college when I started to love his artwork and buy all. Matter of fact, in college is when I went to a hotel convention and bought all of the Demon series. And recently, you know, the Demon was collected in an omnibuy, and that's what I'm reading right now, even though I have the single issues. Probably not in great shape. They're probably, when I went to that hotel con, it was more about, my mentality at that time was more about having a physical copy and being a collector than having a pristine copy. They're probably anywhere from VG to fine. And those were good. But the Demon attempts to rescue Glenda from the Phantom Farley Fairfax. The Demon helps restore Farley's face from Galetta the Witch. And Farley Fairfax, if I remember correctly, he's like a Phantom of the Opera knockoff. There are a lot of horror-themed knockoffs in this demon, like a Frankenstein monster, a Dr. Frankenstein, all kinds of different things. Once restored, he ages to death. Grietta is saved, but the witch possesses her. The demon takes on Baron von Evilstein. And that is your Dr. Frankenstein right there. Also, rereading Kung Fu Fighter. Rereading some issues. There are some issues that I'm reading for the first time, so some of them is new to me. But this is Dragon and Shiva number 8. Sorry, Richard Dragon, Kung Fu Fighter number 8. The Dragon and Shiva take on the Pirate Slash. And then I read New Champions number 6. I do regret not buying a physical copy of this series. It is really great, and the writer juggles so many characters and tells a great story. Well, I rectified that, and I think with this next shipment, I will have the full run of New Champions, because I was just missing, like, issue 3 or 4. I can't remember which one exactly. And this is when I also read Doctor Strange of Asgard and fell in love with that book. And I'm still trying to purchase issue 5. I might have to go to eBay for it, because waiting for it on my comic shop has not proved good. It's like they have 1 through 4. Something went on with that book in issue 5. Like, it was like a, what do you call it? A final order cutoff thing or something that I missed. And, Just to revisit something I talked about, those Bad Idea comics that weren't solicited through DCBS were solicited through DCBS. So what I did is, once I found out what was posted, I went to the Bad Idea fan page on Facebook, and I posted, you know, for those of you that missed Cul-de-Sac and this through DCBS, you could order them through my comic shop. And I said, you know, I missed them. And they said, oh, you missed them, but they came out on final order cutoff email. And I don't usually read those, and that's why I got fucked out of those two Bad Idea books. But thankfully, was able to get them at my comic shop. We then go into September 22nd through September 28th. What did I watch? The Strangers Chapter 2. Interesting enough, I saw The Strangers Chapter 3 at the theater yesterday. I gave it a 3 out of 5. I probably would give the finale a 3 out of 5 as well. Not that they're not like 4 out of 5 films, but the magic of The Strangers and what I always liked about the franchise was not knowing. This is like you going through your life and not knowing Wolverine's origin, and it was fine. And not knowing the Stranger's origin or how they come about was fine, because that's what was scary. It was scary these people would show up and just kill strangers. But now that I know the origin story and this started to explore on it, it kind of takes away the scary part of The Strangers, and that's why I gave it a 3 out of 5. And Chapter 3 just expounds upon the conclusion of that. 4 out of 5 was Peacemaker Season 2. I enjoyed that. And then we get into 19 comics. 12 Marvel, 1 King Features. You don't see that too often. 1 Kickstarter, 4 DC, and 1 Dark Horse. We'll start with the 3 out of 5s. Fantastic Four First Steps. This, I didn't own a physical copy. Probably not going to get a physical copy of it. It was hot for like a really hot minute, like the week it was released, and then it dropped to like below cover price. But this is the prequel to the movie, which focuses on Subterranea and the Mole Man. While I thought the new FF worked in the film, I did not care for it in the comics. The 4 out of 5 is the Kickstarter, Juice Man number 10. Juice Man is finally getting powered up again and takes on the mighty Kon-Aloa. She Newt, and that's Newt, like N-E-W-T, helps Juice Man. We got Fuck My Life number 2, FML. young boy is a monster now, and the punk rock mother is just treating it. And these are 4 out of 5s, by the way, from Juice Man Forward. It's just treating like nothing happened. School kids don't see to think much of it. Give some backstory about the mom when she was younger. Still don't understand this world, but it is a lot of fun to read. Here's the King Features one. Popeye and the Construction Careers, number one. This one I got from Media Mick on one of his Twitter sales. And Popeye teaches you all about architects, engineers, construction jobs, surveyors, plasterers. It's a very factual book in that it tells you how many jobs there are in 1973 and the growth areas. It tells you which jobs you have to be in shape for also. So it's a book to young kids to try to get them in the workforce. I found it fascinating. It was a very interesting read in 1973. We got Green Arrow number 24 through 27. Ollie confronts one of the prisoners from the Stillwater fiasco and tells him he is at fault and will try to make things better. Ollie and Roy stop Vertigo at a fundraiser. Later, Roy is shot with a drug-induced arrow. We have Dr. Aphra, Chaos Agent number one. She gets caught by the Rebellion and then sent on a mission with Luke to retrieve a gauntlet that can harness the Force. She decides to work for the Rebellion does have an alternative motive. She's kind of like coerced to work for the Rebellion. Dr. Aphra is really, it could be my favorite Star Wars book. It's very fresh. It's a character that they can explore without the films being restrictive to the comic book material. It is really good. West Coast Avengers 1 through 9. This is the latest interesting West Coast Avengers. A team forms to rehabilitate convicts. You start with Ultron and Blue Bolt. The team consists of Spider-Woman, Firestar, Iron Man, and War Machine. Tony thinks Ultron can be a hero if he grants him his open source. He has Wasp as a backup plan. An Ultron cult is forming and healing people who are on their deathbed. Have a run-in with the Avengers proper, and right now Ultron is torn. Firestar having a little of a relationship with Blue Bolt, but she goes into an alcohol rehab. Wonder Man confronts Kilowatt for taking his name, and we get the origin of Kilowatt. He's the other guy that they're rehabbing. We then have a black Ultron come down to destroy the Angel Ultron and his cult. Spider-Woman calls for help when she goes to help cancer patient, and the battle of the Ultrons has started and does not look good for our heroes as Iron Man gets pierced by a weapon. Wonder Man is on the team now, so that is cool. Kilowatt was shot twice as he escaped prison when Flag Smasher was threatening his father. We then have the top book for that week, Punisher Red Band number one. Punisher wakes up on a ship, shot and wounded, but killed most of the crew and has no idea what happened. The ship was Tombstone, so he's trying to figure out who did it. The Kingpin takes out a corrupt priest and somehow is controlling the Punisher. A old woman fixes the Punisher up. And that's that. Got to get back to that Red Band series and finish it off. I was enjoying that. All right. And we'll finally get to September 30th through October 5th. Make sure I'm still recording. Yes, I am. The 4 out of 5s were Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. I rewatched Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I watched the Psycho, The Lost Tapes of Ed Gein, and Monster, Ed Gein, on Netflix. So you can see I went on an Ed Gein tangent, and I enjoyed it very much. I also did a lot of research on the real Ed Gein to compare it to the lost tapes of Ed Gein and Ed Gein. The five out of fives was Billy the Kid seasons one and two. So I wrapped up season one and got to season two. There are a total of 19 comics, one Valiant, nine Marvel, one Mad Cave, one Image, seven DC. We'll start with the three out of fives. We got Giant Size X-Men Dark Phoenix number two. Just have a comment here. Enjoyed the backups more than the main story. Wasn't too thrilled with. I wanted to like this book much more than I did. All New Harbinger number one. A new team is assembled and to take on Black Sheep and her terrorist group after that Psiot War. After I read issue one, I give it a 3 out of 5, but the rest of the series was a 4 out of 5. So I think I was extra hard on number one, being on where they threw me in this new world in Valiant Beyond. We got Batman Gotham Sampler, the band, Batman Gotham Sampler. This was a hot book at one point. Always interested to see how DC markets the entire Bat universe. I find it extremely interesting to find what they consider to show to gain interest. I say the standouts were Batman, Detective, Red Hood, and Batgirl. What do you think? Red Hood was the reason this book skyrocketed in value, because it got this book was banned. They told stores to not distribute it. Stores were still distributing it and making money off of a free sampler, essentially. I had to pay for this copy, even though it's a free book. The 4 out of 5s were Aquaman Shark Week, Air Jaws Allies. This was a freebie. Author beat up pretty bad by Ocean Master and his goons, can no longer control the sharks, and is trying to prevent Orin from getting a gauntlet that controls the tides. He gets his power back and has a great white destroy the gauntlet. We have Aquaman 7 and 8. Aquaman and his team find Atlantis, and everyone is aged. His daughter, Mara's aged. Dagon kills Garth and Jackson. Mara dies of old age. Looks like Aquaman dies, but comes back and gets swallowed by Dagon as he destroys him from within. Lori Loomis joins the good guys again. We have Justice League Unlimited number 11. On the Watchtower, this team is having a difficult time to help the Time Trapper while the Parademons are destroying everything. In Markovia, the team is fighting the Legion of Darkseid. Superman has recovered Booster and calls all members to the Watchtower. We have new champions 7 and 8. The champions ask for help from Night Drifter to help them find their friend Helrune. He takes them to a magic land where Moon Squire loses his best seven days in his life, future or past, making a deal. That whole concept's interesting to me. Looks like Helrune is mixed up with Hela, from Thor somehow. The pacing was excellent up to the last two issues, where it was like we need to wrap the series up, and they rushed it. We have Star Wars: The Legacy of Darth Vader. Kylo Ren. Kylo Ren wants to erase his grandfather's story. That is Darth Vader, if you didn't know that. Gehenna, Naked Aggression number 4. She saves the kid, only to find that the father she was trying to get revenge on was already dead. It looks like she's going to work for a new employer in the new series. One World Under Doom, 6 and 7. This is a really good series. The debate between Doom and Reed, and Doom is kicking his ass until Invisible Woman, Black Widow, and Scarlet Witch find out that his magic is being powered by imprisoned Latverians. Then it is Dr. Doom's sorcery versus Reed's scientific magic. Reed is not doing so well. We have Thunderstrike, number 1 through 3, second volume. This is where Eric Masterson is dead and Steve Rogers, agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., passes the mallet to his son, the Troublemaker, and now he wields the power of Thunderstrike. A mysterious organization is also after the object to take it away from him. Kevin retrieves the mace and changes his image. Racer X, number one. Racer X is Speed's older brother, and that they think is dead. He got in a bad crowd and was injured in the face very badly. Now he feels he has to protect his brother Speed. Green Arrow 28, Ollie saves one of the guys with the arrow. They find out it comes from a plant and is more dangerous than heroin. Is Albert Noyce the Crimson Archer? Roy and Lion help a woman that has drug addiction. And then finally, the last 4 out of 5 is Justice League Red. Cyborg helps steal a piece from who he believes are bad people, only to find out that they are not. The team is now having doubts in Red Tornado and want to tell the rest of the Justice League. A shocking reveal at the end shows Kara's parents. And that wraps up this episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I hope you enjoyed it. And join me for another episode in a week or two as we cover some more issues that I read and whatever topic I feel like talking about. But thank you for listening to me. Keep reading comics and send questions to Mike Myers Brunch at gmail.com and also at X and Blue Sky at Mike Myers Brunch. Those are places to get a hold of me. And thank you and you can find this website right now. We're currently located at DCNoisePodcast.com, where you'll find Geek Brunch and Mike M's Weekly Reads and any other podcasts that I put out. I'm still deciding what to do, if I stay here or move to another site. I'm leaning towards maybe staying and figuring out stuff for myself, but we'll see how that pans out. And I want to thank you for listening, and keep reading comics and enjoy yourselves like I do. Talk to you soon. Bye.